down on purpose by a Jordanian man who was in the country purposely to learn how to fly.
The crash of the two-engine plane Tuesday killed 28-year-old student pilot Ferris Freitech and injured the flight instructor. He reportedly said Freitech deliberately caused the crash as the plane was coming into land. East Hartford Police Lieutenant Josh Litwin says nothing's certain.
What the circumstances were that led to it being intentional, there's no clear indication as far as any motive or source behind anything.
The Daily Southtown quotes sources as saying the two argued before the crash and that the flight instructor struggled to gain control of the plane from Freitech. David Stewart, Chicago.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The Labor Department out with the weekly jobless claims report showing they're holding steady and at their lowest level in about four decades. 246,000 people filing first-time jobless claims last week, and that's unchanged from the previous week, but economists had expected the number to rise to about 254,000. The last time applications were this low was 1973, and claims have been below the key 300,000 mark that signals a healthy job market for 84 consecutive weeks now.
Wow, I don't even know. I never seen anything like it. So
that's Toronto Maple Leafs head coach Mike Babcock discussing news center Austin Matthews, who got off to a history-making start last night, the number one pick in this year's NHL draft, scoring all four of Toronto's goals in what ended up being a 5-4 overtime loss to the Senators in Ottawa.
And so we're fortunate that we have him.
The 19-year-old Matthews, the first player to ever score four goals in his first NHL game. He's the fifth player in history to notch a hat trick in his first game. And Samsung trying to keep customers in the fold as it deals with an embarrassing problem with its Galaxy Note 7s. Owners of those troubled smartphones can get a $100 bill credit from Samsung if they exchange that recalled device for another Samsung smartphone. The credit's much less, just $25 if they choose to exchange it for another brand or for a refund. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be discussing the October surprise delivered by Donald Trump and Billy Bush. Then I'll recap the presidential debate. I'll be talking about what I learned at one of my National Accounts Global Conference this weekend and observations about Hurricane Matthew and what I saw of the devastation in the South. It's Thursday, October 13th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, I've got to check the weather. A brief check shows that it's currently 57 degrees at 12:04, and for today it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 71 and a low of 42. For tomorrow, it'll be sunny with a high of 65 degrees and a low of 37, and for Saturday, we're going to have sunshine at a high of 65 degrees and a low of 42. Sunday's looking like we'll have abundant sunshine with a high of 70 degrees and a low of 53 with a chance of rain later in the evening. Here we go. A little old school today. No Facebook introduction. I apologize for that. But funny thing happened on the way to the studio today. I wrote my show last night, put it in my briefcase, been running around like an idiot for the last 4 days, and somehow lost page one, which would include the weather and the stocks and all that. So didn't have all that information. Kind of technically challenged here in the studio. Couldn't get Wi-Fi, so I couldn't look any of this up. So I said, what the heck, we're going to do it without the Facebook intro this week. So we're going to go the old school, the way we used to do it for the first 3 years. And did want to remind you that we are now celebrating 5 years on the air here at 100andchamberradio.com. So glad you've made us a part of your life, made us a part of your week, especially on Thursdays at noon. And glad that you could join us for another edition of Taking Care of Business. And speaking of joining us, tonight might just be the night when you do want to join us for a networking card club. Now, if you're a member of the chamber, it's the 5th annual October Card Club, and that's going to be held at Anita's Angels and North Star Tutors. You can join them for an evening of good food, beer, and wine, toe-tapping music, and great conversations. That's tonight at 5:30 to 7:30 at the Countryside Plaza North, which is at 361 Route 31 here in Flemington. You do need to register for the event, so for more information, call 908-782-7115. That's the chamber number here. And they will get you all set up with that. I'll be there tonight. Looking forward to spending time with Tom Bay and the folks from Anita's Angels. Great organization. And if you need any more information about their services and how they can help you care for the elderly, by all means, reach out to Tom. So this Tuesday night, was watching CNBC's The Profit. And it featured a tea company in Texas called Tea to Go. Now, usually when Marcus Lemonis gets involved, the companies realize they're already in trouble. Sometimes they've got a great product but not a great process. Sometimes they really don't have a great product, but they have good process and good people. And Marcus is all about the three Ps, people, process, and product. On this week's episode, missing one of the Ps, and that was a good people in the father. It was a father-son relationship, and the way it was explained was the father had, or, you know, he fathered the kid when he was 17 years old. He was now in his 40, I think he was 40 years old. So 23 years, and he had no responsibilities with this child. The mother raised him, and all of a sudden in the last 4 or 5 years, the kid came back into the father's life. So he was helping to build the business, and the kid had done 3 years of college when the father pulled him out of school and said, you have to work in the business with me here. So here he is a year away from getting a degree at the University of Texas, and the father pulls him out. And right away, I knew something was smelly. And when they started talking about the debt of the company, which was upwards of $1 million, I realized what he was doing. Pulled him out of college so he didn't have to pay tuition. Then get the kid working. And it just seemed like this was all about him and not about, you know, the kid's future and stuff like that. So great product. It was a tea company, and then Marcus had worked with other vendors, and they were going to merge the business and make it tea and spice, since there's a lot of spices in different teas. And it just seemed, and then they were going to add food. So it just seemed like, okay, now we've got a process, we've got the product, we've got a plan. Still a couple of question marks regarding the people. And at the end of the show, because of the father's activities, he was still trying to sell franchises to the old Tea to Go, even though it had been renamed. But he was selling franchises on the old concept. So Marcus cut the father out of the deal, took his check back, and said, we're done with you. But now you just showed me what I can do. I can open up a tea company, spice, and little bakery, and I can franchise this all over the country. And so Marcus did that with one of the franchisees.
and agreed to work with the son after he finishes college, which Marcus is then going to pay for. So the kid's got to put a year in of school, get his degree, and then he'll be able to come back and hopefully join the organization and do very well. A lot of great comments when you were live tweeting during the show from people as it pertained to the kid and the father, and because it's really great to see how when people are live tweeting, how they can kind of like identify right away what the problems are. And you know, I had gotten a bunch of likes this week from Marcus and from other viewers of the program on some of the things that I was saying, but I was probably like two steps ahead. I could see what was going to happen, and it was just a nightmare scenario. This could not end well. You could just tell that the father, the leader of this deal, wasn't going to abide by Marcus's terms. And then, of course, there was Sunday night, the great presidential debate number two. Now, before we got to that, on Friday, video was leaked by the Washington Post of an episode that happened on an Access Hollywood bus 11 years ago between Donald Trump and host Billy Bush. And they've dismissed it and said, it was locker room talk. It was this. It was too vulgar to mention on these airwaves. I wouldn't give it that kind of time. But you've by now heard the text and you've heard the video or seen the video and everything like that. And when you want to talk about acting presidential, obviously it was 11 years ago. He wasn't running for president then, but no way would you want that in the White House. So then for the next 48 hours, there was all the talk, every political show, Meet the Press, CBS This Morning, all that, Face the Nation. It was just all about what everybody in the world had just witnessed. And, you know, what do you do with this? So we get to the presidential debate on Sunday night, and Donald Trump walks in, Hillary Clinton walks in, and the first thing I noticed immediately was no handshake between the two of them. Now, they've known each other for years. You know, the Clintons went to the Trump wedding. They shook hands at the first debate, but this time, no handshake. And maybe because Hillary didn't know where those hands had been. But so now you have a pretty contentious debate setting up, because you have Donald Trump literally fighting for his life, and you have Hillary who's looking to hit that knockout punch, you know, put him on the ropes, knock him down, and really neither one delivered any of that in this debate, because the pressure was on Hillary to really deliver that knockout punch, and she couldn't do it. I think if you're going to declare a winner, I'm going to say maybe it's Donald Trump by a point or two, but not enough to change the pace of the election. She had a chance to close the deal and didn't. At one point, you know, Donald Trump told her that, you know, if he was president, she'd be in jail. And it was just, it's going to be interesting because the next one's coming up on the 19th. And there, somebody's got a lot of convincing to do, because Donald Trump either has to convince the world that he's the right person. Hillary has to convince the world that she's the right person. And I just don't think that either one has made that argument yet. And the number one thing that's really starting to aggravate me is that none of the candidates, you know, not Trump, not Hillary, are talking about the issues that really affect America. And we're not talking about education. We're not talking about infrastructure, which I'll get into after the break. We're not talking about our military. We're not talking about the economy. And I'm like, at what point can we stop picking on each other and start talking about the path moving forward that's going to make this country, and I'm going to not say make it great again, but get it back on track, you know, where it's that world leader, where it's not so much that people fear us, but they have a respect for us. And right now, it's just not there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens on the 19th. I'm looking forward to that. We'll be popping the popcorn and pulling the chair up close to the TV so that we can see that. The loser in this entire weekend is not Donald Trump and it is not Hillary Clinton. The loser, the biggest loser coming out of this weekend, is Billy Bush. He's been suspended by NBC Universal from hosting the third hour of the Today Show. Everybody is coming to the rally of him and saying, look, you know, he's a great guy. He's got a big heart. He's a family man and stuff like that. But how do you put him back on the air? And how do you, after this episode on that bus, And if there's an issue that's particularly important to women, how do you have him be the spokesperson for it? And I don't think the apologies are going to be enough. So I think at this point, Billy Bush will more than likely, I think the more time that goes on, I think NBC looks for how do we get out of this? How do we let him go? What will the severance be? And they cut their ties. And he may reappear somewhere else, but it won't be on a morning news show like today. And the sad part is that he had just joined them this summer full time. In that third hour, and it looked like they were grooming him to be heir apparent for Matt Lauer, should Matt ever leave or should NBC decide to cut their ties with him. So, again, the biggest loser of this week, Billy Bush. When we come back, last week I went to a conference with one of my national accounts and spent time with them at their global conference. I'm going to talk to you about what I learned there and some of the things that I saw on the drive home. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy, and Jim's moving in storage, which is a story I'll explain just a little bit later. So glad to be back in Hunterdon County after spending the week or the weekend down in Atlanta and then further down in Tampa, Florida with one of my national accounts. And so I want to go over kind of what was heard, said, and learned there, and a little move that I pulled that, you know, according to one franchise owner, said that was the ballsiest move they had ever seen. And sometimes you have to do that in business in order to be noticed. So I'm not going to give the name of the account, but it's a national account that I have. They have 700 offices in 40 countries, and they were all invited to Atlanta for their global conference. This was a chance to meet their new CEO, a chance for the vendors to be highlighted in a little vendor expo area. And we were invited as vendors to even sit in on the meetings. And the cool thing is I used to work for this company, so everything they were talking about, I already, you know, knew, had lived through, you know, had experienced. So it was relevant to me. And then there was a guest speaker that I'm going to talk about after the break who had some great ideas. But before, and part of his thing I want to test you on right now. So here we go. Hands on buzzers. You have 1 second to answer this question. I'm going to ask you a question. You have 1 second to answer it. You're going to have to identify a color. And what I'm looking for you to do is, as soon as I ask the question, blurt out the answer. I don't care if you're sitting at your desk. I don't care if you're sitting in a truck or wherever you're listening to this. Just blurt out the answer as quick as you can. You have 1 second to answer this question. So hands on buzzers. Are you ready? Here's the question. What is the color of a yield sign? Time's up. All right. How many of you said yellow? Not bad. Most people answer yellow. And when the guest speaker asked this question, we all blurted it out, top of our lungs, yellow. What color is really a yield sign? Think about that for a second. It's red, triangular, with red text in the middle. That is a yield sign. But we all said the same thing. We had caution in our head, and we said yellow because we identify caution with yellow. How many of you got yellow? You know, feel free to text me or email me or something like that right now and let me know how many got it wrong. And if you got red right out of the bat, you know, God bless you, but, you know, let me know that as well. So sometimes you have to think differently, and that's the point that this guy was trying to make, that you can't always assume that everything is the way it seems, because a lot of times you can be wrong. And he was referring to business and how you know, business is always changing, customers are changing, vendors are changing. So how do you stay on top of all of this rather than just assuming that the relationship is fine? Because in that business, if somebody comes in and says, well, I'm going to charge you 25% less, they're going to get the business because it's a money-driven industry. So we were staying at the I'm going to blow it. I didn't know the name of that hotel. Anyway, it was a Hyatt down there. And what we didn't realize was in the lobby, there were a bunch of senior citizens in wheelchairs, on walkers, things like that. And it took me a while, but I finally figured out what was going on. So these people had been become refugees from their home because of the hurricane. And I had asked the staff with one of them, I said, where are you from? And they said they were all the way from Charleston, South Carolina, but had been moved inland to Atlanta to escape Hurricane Matthew. So whenever I got a chance, you know, in an elevator or in the hallway, I always made sure that I gave the patients a big smile, said hello, how's your day, kind of thing like that. One woman got out of the elevator on the third floor, which is the floor my room was on, and looked totally lost. And I said, can I help you, ma'am? And she says, well, I'm supposed to be at dinner right now. And I said, all right, well, let's go. So I put out my arm as if I was going to escort her, brought her back into the elevator, and then went down two floors, and we I brought her over to where the Brookdale Senior Center was going to be, and I said, I think this lady's looking for dinner. Oh, sure, sure. You know, so they took her away, and she turned around, and she goes, thank you, Walter. I was like, you're welcome, ma'am, you know, even though my name is Jim. So off we went. And then another gentleman on a walker. The last night we had a big outdoor party with a food truck festival, and there was a band, and there was a tent. And this gentleman on his walker just made it out the front door, down the hall, and I'm sure at Brookdale there's security measures to prevent that. Went outside and was standing near the band shell, and I was sitting there like concerned because another 50 to 75 feet away was a highway, and I didn't want him to go that far. And so I went back inside, and I talked to the folks at Brookdale. I said, there's a gentleman outside. I think he belongs with you. I said, he's not in trouble. There's no harm, no foul, but, you know, for his safety, I think you need to go get him. And so they did, and I think it was more like he just heard live music and was hearkening back to old times and wanted to see the performer. So they brought him back inside. If I was running that business, I think I would have invited all of the Brookdale people out, gotten all of my people up from chairs, given them some food if they could eat, you know, the type of food that they were serving, and just let them enjoy the music and have a good night. Because you think of how upsetting it must be to them when they're in their daily routines to suddenly be uprooted, bust out, you know, hundreds of miles away from home. You're not in your typical room. You don't have your typical surroundings, photos of family and friends and things like that. So the first day they were there, they just looked absolutely scared to death. And then by the second or third day, I think they finally realized what was going on. So it was an interesting experience there. So I did something at the Vendor Expo that I normally wouldn't do, but I was a little concerned. Every time they took a break, the offices, when they got a break, which was about every 2 hours or so, they were invited to go outside, get some refreshments, and then visit the vendors. And there were all kinds of vendors there, Monster.com, Career Builder, LinkedIn, some payroll services, things like that. And I noticed that there were a few, like a trickle of people coming to visit my booth. And I'm like, wait a minute. I just paid for airline fees to get down here. I shipped material down here, and nobody's going to visit me. So I was getting a little annoyed, but I was thinking, like, how do I, without just walking over them, handing them my brochure and my my promotional items, how do I get my information into their hands? And the way this place was worked, there was a row of 10 vendors on one side, 10 vendors on the other side, and then 15 tables in the middle that would accommodate 10 people each. And so finally I got the idea late in the day on Saturday, well, if you won't come to me, I'll go to you. I didn't want to be forward and just start handing out things to people. So I got up at 5 o'clock the next morning, folded my brochures, attached all of my promotional items and my business card, and I laid them at every place setting on those tables. So when they came down for breakfast, they had to see my stuff. And I just stood there by my booth waiting, and more people would start showing up because they had a chance to review it. Then they had a chance to come talk to me about it. And one of the former office owners came up to me at the end, a person that I respect very much. And she says, and she's from Texas, and I love this woman dearly. And she goes, "That was the ballsiest move I ever saw anybody do. You put your stuff right on their table." And I was like, yes, I did, because if they're not coming to me, I'll go to them. And more throughout the day on Sunday, more people were coming up to me saying, "Man, I really like this product and I like that product, and I got to talk to you about getting some promotional items for my office, and I have to talk to you about getting apparel for my office and end of year awards for my staff." That's all I wanted to do. Mission accomplished. So again, it was, sometimes you have to take that chance, and this was one of those I'd rather beg forgiveness than ask permission kind of things. But again, I didn't fly all the way down there to meet with 20 people. I wanted to meet with hundreds of people, and finally it looks like we had the chance to do that. So it's all good. Then I left Atlanta and flew to Tampa because we were already halfway there, and my mother owns a condo outside of Tampa, and she wanted to pick up some things that my sister had packed a few months ago, so that because she's in the process of selling the unit. So I flew to Tampa, rented a U-Haul, drove to the condo, loaded it up, and then started driving back on Monday afternoon. And I'm making great time through Florida, no evidence of any damage from Hurricane Matthew. I'm shooting up I-95. I get into Georgia, same thing. We're flying. And all of a sudden, I get to, like, South Carolina, and now things are changing. You could see that the trees had toppled onto I-95, and instead of, like, being professionally cleared away, they were literally just hacked off at the shoulder. And so you kind of felt like you were driving through a hedgerow almost, but doing it at 70 miles an hour. Got to be a little eerie. No lights on the highway. No lights from billboards. No lights from surrounding towns or anything. It was just pitch dark all night long. And another thing I noticed was that if you ever driven down there through South Carolina and you see all the Pedro Says billboard, not one Pedro Says billboard. Why? Because they had all been blown apart, you know, 80 feet, 90 feet, 100 feet in the air. All of the billboard materials were blown away. All of the wood that would be behind them holding them up, gone. It was just the steel structures. And there are thousands of billboard on the I-95 corridor through South Carolina, all blown away. Where this stuff went, I have no idea. And then finally, it got to the point where I didn't have a CB radio, but I like to follow truckers and things like that. And all of a sudden, I noticed there's no tractor trailers on the highway. So at the next exit, I veered off and started heading up towards Columbia, South Carolina, Charlotte, and I'd kind of take the inland route in. But I was listening to a radio show that night, and everybody was calling in and explaining how they had lost power, they had been evacuated, they couldn't get back to Myrtle Beach and Kiawah Island or anything like that. None of the Outer Banks could be, they weren't letting anybody in. People were calling in and saying, well, we got power restored on this street, that street, but there were still 250,000 people without power. And it reminded me of what we all went through during Superstorm Sandy. So I hope that you'll think about the folks down in South Carolina. The evening news simply isn't covering this story with everything else going on with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. They're just not covering this disaster as much as they should. It's the equivalent of, as I said, Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina. And so I hope that you'll keep those folks in your prayers. The stars are not coming out with concerts and telethons. These people are pretty much on their own. FEMA will do their usual horrible job. The government has declared it a disaster area, so there will be some relief, but that will take a lot of time. These people have lost everything. So if you find it in your heart, say a prayer for them or make a donation to the charity of your choice who has indicated that they are helping the folks down in South Carolina. And hopefully we can help get them back on their feet as soon as possible. Going to take a break now for the weather and news, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the guest speaker and some of the things he said at this conference that I attended earlier this weekend. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We actually proactively sought information about their political views and decided to include it. We thought it was an important disclosure.
As a New York Times reporter on CBS This Morning admitting the two women in their story who alleged Donald Trump groped them are big supporters of Hillary Clinton. Trump has been slamming the New York Times on Twitter this morning, demanding they retract the story because the story is nothing but lies. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory happy that there's no new deaths overnight in the state, but in one town where their sewage system was overrun and putting sewage throughout the city, he said some residents aren't leaving.
They're still in their houses because, and they were afraid to leave their house, even in the sewage, because they were afraid of vandalism.
Two Boston police officers in the hospital after being shot in the line of duty. It happened last night in East Boston. They were responded to a domestic incident call with a person with a gun. The suspect reportedly was wearing body armor when the officers encountered him. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Recently, mortgage rates have dropped to the second lowest level in history. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is all the way down to 3.5%, APR 3.57%. It's a great time to refinance with Quicken Loans and save hundreds every month. So lock in this ultra-low rate before it goes back up. Call 800-QUICKEN, that's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious. And that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. And a quick check of the weather shows that it's currently 57 degrees here in Flemington at 12:32. And today it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 71 degrees and a low of 42. For tomorrow it'll be sunny with a high of 65 degrees and a low of 37. For Saturday we'll have sunshine and a high of 65 degrees with a low of 42. And for Sunday, abundant sunshine with a high of 70 degrees and a low of 53 with a chance of rain later in the evening. You're all caught up on the weather right here on Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. So glad you could join us as always as we get together every Thursday at noon. And glad I could be here because I drove, like as my father used to say, drive like the hammers of hell because I wanted to make sure that I was back in time to do the show. So glad to be here. And all right, so we talked earlier about the yield sign and what color it was, and you had 1 second to answer. And a lot of people have texted me or hit me up by email or Facebook saying that they had in fact chosen yellow. So this guest speaker was a gentleman by the name of Ford Sakes at this conference that I attended on over the weekend down in Atlanta, and he was a very fast talker, but I think it was because he was trying to cram like 2 days worth of information into about 2 hours. So they had him for 1 hour on Saturday, 1 hour on Sunday. He said there's four ways to grow your business. Get more clients, increase your average transaction, increase the frequency of the transactions or repeat business, and then leverage your resources. So one of the things he said that I thought really hit home because a lot of my clients, when I'm doing turnarounds or trying to help them fix their business, say the same thing. They want to make more money. Well, if you want to make more money, Ford says you have to add more value. What are you bringing to the table? What part of the transaction is making people want to do business with you? But I did talk to Ford, and we're going to try to get him to call in one day and ask him a bunch of questions about how to improve your business. The cool thing about him that I liked was that he took the time to understand the business that these people do, and so he would apply his principles to that. And he said a lot of times you can keep – and I say the same thing, and it's, you know, it's almost like ad nauseum sometimes. If you want change in your business, you want to make more money, you want to offer different products, you want to increase, add more employees. Well, if you want change, then you have to be willing to do the uncomfortable. And the typical exercise for something like this would be, instead of putting on your left shoe first in the morning, put on your right shoe. Instead of wearing a watch on the left arm, wear it on your right. Do the uncomfortable, things that make you uncomfortable. And a lot of times what you find is it's really not that bad. So during his presentation, I had switched my watch from the left to the right. After 20 minutes of listening to him, I didn't even realize that I had a watch on. You know, so that's the kind of thing where that a lot of people don't get, that if you want change, you have to sometimes do something that's going to be very uncomfortable to you. And that's okay, but you have to be, you know, sometimes people, they try something, it's uncomfortable, and they retreat back to the same old thing. So he asked us a question. Where are you now? This was a, kind of a self-assessment. You didn't have to blurt out the answer, but in your business, where are you now? Are you where you thought you would be? So let's say you've been in business 3 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, doesn't matter. You probably had some goals for yourself along the way. Where are you in relationship to those goals? And one of the things that he said was that apathy after the sale is how you lose clients. And how many of you follow up with your clients after a sale, a week or two later, to say thank you? How did everything go? Was it the right fit? Is this product, useful for you? Things like that. We do it a lot at Crown Trophy, where once we make a sale, hey, a week later, how did everything go with the awards? Oh, people loved it. It's almost like getting a free testimonial, but it's more to show we still care. It's not just about making a dollar. So follow-up is important. Then he talked about OQP, and I have my phone in my hand. So if you know what OQP stands for, text me right now. You'll win a prize. And seeing none, I'm going to give you a couple seconds more, but he talked about OQP and why it was important to you and your development as a business owner. So OQP stands for only quality people. And what he wants you to do is surround yourself with only quality people. If you surround yourself with negative people, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to develop a negative attitude. If you surround yourself with people who say it can't be done, then it won't be done. But if you surround yourself with people who take charge, take initiative, are successful, and you start adopting their habits, their principles, then very often what you find is that you in turn will become successful too. He gave the example of, surrounding yourself with successful people in business, rich people in business who you want to emulate, you want to be like. And what you'll find is that by hanging around them, talking with them, seeing what works, then you too will probably be able to acquire wealth. If you dive right in with it. He talked about adaptability. And instead of listening to a person tell you that they don't need your product, ask them the question, I know you don't need my product now, but if you did, what would it be? Or so, product or service. I know you don't need my product or service now, but if you did, what would it have to look like for you to make that purchase? And again, it's just getting the customer to tell you what they're looking for. And if it's something that's in your wheelhouse, something that you can then either develop or procure so that they would purchase it from you, then do it. He also suggested, and this is something that my son has been doing for some time now, but you can all do it on your cell phones. You don't need a piece of paper. You don't need a notebook, but creating an idea journal. How many times during your day do ideas pop into your head? And it could be, I need to look at this website, but you're not near a computer, or I need to call so and so, and you just can't do it at that particular moment. So an idea journal. Everybody has a memo feature on their cell phone. Open it up and type in call Bill. Look up NASCAR.com or whatever the website might be. So that's a neat one, that idea journal, because I can't tell you how many times I'll say, I got to look at so-and-so's website, and then at the last second I forget, and I'm like, why did I just open this browser? Where do you want to go? What goals do you have? Write them down. And he also suggested that you create what is known as a dream board, and this may have four or five pictures on it, kind of like a storyboard in advertising. But so for some people, one of the pictures might be a house. For other people, it might be a boat or a place to go on vacation. So what is your dream board? Put that somewhere near you where you work so that you know what you're working toward. For others, it's all about family. Put a picture of your family on the dream board and maybe a picture of Italy if you wanted to take the family on a vacation with them, and that's part of your dream, then do that. So have goals, make them measurable, and then make them achievable. Now, here's an interesting one. There's a lot of times when everybody is worried about either product or process being perfect. And we can't let that go now because it's not done. It's not perfect. And he had an interesting line where he said, done is more profitable than perfect. And I agree and I disagree at the same time. If you're doing an ad campaign and you're rushing to get it done, and you do, but then after you've submitted to the client, you realize a spelling mistake, you realize that the color was wrong or something like that, and you can't go back and change it. So sometimes we work so hard to be perfect that we don't complete the job. And so what he's saying is get it done. And that's a heck of a lot more profit than continuing to work on it, delaying deadlines, and then, finally getting it perfect, but pissing off the customer in between. I love this one because it's something I think I've been doing since the day I was born. Don't listen or believe people who tell you that you can't do something. I love it when people tell me that I can't do something because it just energizes the heck out of me to work harder, so that I will prove them wrong and I will do something. I was told by the ownership at Crown, you couldn't open a store in Flemington because you would die. You couldn't support a store out here because the only thing in Flemington at the time, in their mind, was farms and cows. I asked them to recheck their demographics, and when they came back to me a week later, they said, you know what? You could support a store. That area has really grown. I knew that. I just had to convince them of that. And now we're one of the fastest growing franchises in Crown's history. Another thing that was very important, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this, is what does your digital footprint look like? And on this show, I know I have talked several times about image. What image are you portraying digitally? There's probably a lot of things, if you're my age and I'm 55, that you did as a kid that you just thank God every day there wasn't an internet to embarrass you with. But even something as simple as every picture in your photos in Facebook shows you holding a red Solo cup, shows you with glassy eyes, red eyes, and stuff like that. You got to clean up your digital footprint, because understand, whether you're going for a job or whether you're trying to become a new vendor with a client, they're doing their research on it. They want to know about you. And what that means is it's not just about the pictures on Facebook and things like that. It's about what's being said about you. Are you writing articles or a blog that, can promote your business? Are customers giving you negative reviews? Are you getting good press releases and are you appearing in the newspaper? Are you becoming basically an entity, or are you a ghost on the internet? Some people say, well, I like my privacy, and that's all well and good. I like my privacy too. First show back in September of 2011, I said my number one rule is ABP, always be promoting. And that happens in a number of different ways. You have to promote when people are in your store. You have to promote when people are in your office. You have to promote with what you wear, what you say, what you do, etc. But your digital footprint is another form of promotion. So claiming business listings, every business listing, placing your hours of operation, what credit cards you accept, is there parking nearby, what your products are, having a good website that really has a call to action, like call now, call for pricing, call for quote, you know, things like that. That's what's creating that digital footprint. Your assignment today is to Google your business and see what comes up. And obviously the first thing will probably be the website. But then keep going to page 2, 3, 4, and 5 and see how long it takes before suddenly you become irrelevant. So if you type in Crown Trophy of Flemington, I did this as an example, you have our website, and then there was a link to Crown Signs, and there was a link to Crown, you know, Custom Apparel. All good. Then it would be, you know, store owner wins awards. And this was an article in the Hunterdon County Democrat about 4 years ago. You had to get to page 3 or 4 before all of a sudden, you know, either another Crown Trophy would pop up in the search or another Jim Gano would pop up in the search. But you want to make sure that your digital footprint is out there and there's a lot being said about you. It can help you attract new customers. It can help you attract employees. It can help you attract new vendors. And ultimately, it can help you attract more business. We're going to continue on this theme when we return. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits. Law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And again, glad you could join us as we get together every Thursday at noon for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So continuing our topic, I was talking about a gentleman who was a guest speaker at the conference that I went to this week and had a lot of great information. And here's one topic that when he touched on, I was kind of like grading myself and grading our business and seeing how do we score, if you will, on a scale of 1 to 10 with these topics. So he said, in business, you want to respond to inquiries fast. Now, we have a portion on our website where you can request a catalog. We have another thing called product inquiry, where a person could, you know, maybe research a glass award and they want more information on it. So they fill out a form and that gets emailed directly to me. How fast I respond could determine whether or not we're going to make that sale. So typically I'll say, you know, let's say the person's name was Allison. Dear Allison, thanks for your inquiry. Yes, we have plenty of those pieces in stock. Please give me a call or can I call you to discuss the engraving and when you need it. So that's great. But how many times do you get those little pink messages from your admin saying, oh, so-and-so called, and you put it on the desk. You say, I'll get to that later. That guy's a pain in the butt, you know. But guess what? He's a pain in the butt because he needs information. The next thing is, how quickly do you follow up on referrals? Now, if someone has gone out of their way to refer you to a friend and that friend calls you, how quickly are you picking up the phone? How quickly are you calling them to say, hey, I understand that Paul referred me to you and wanted to talk to you about what your needs are? The longer you wait, the better chance you're going to lose that referral. And then your friend gets pissed off because, hey, did you talk to Bob? Well, you know what? I left him a message. He never called me back, and you look like a schmuck. You also want to engage your database. Don't forget that people have done business with you up until this point. Go back and find out if they need anything else, or do they know of someone who might need your product and or service. So don't forget that the people in your database, if you've done a good job for them, can quickly become your best referral sources. You also want to call back any leads fast. You get that little pink notice that says so-and-so called, call them right back. So just things that you don't normally think of in business that make a big difference to your potential customers. In email marketing or in email responses, there are influencers and there are decision makers, and you have to write differently to each person. Also, don't focus on your self-focus, but focus on the client's solution. And that was kind of telling, because a lot of times when you read emails, and you have to think of yourself as you're writing the email as if you were the audience. When you're writing that email, take yourself out of the equation. Don't talk about, oh, our business can do this and our business can do that, or I can do this and I can do that. Figure out what the problem is for the potential customer and how you're going to solve it. If you come back as a solution provider, you are going to get more business than if you just sat back and said, oh, well, we did that for so-and-so and we can do this and we can do that. Tell them, you know, investigate what the problem is and then offer them the solution. Another thing that he was very key on was the use of video marketing. So whether you do this as an email, a YouTube channel, or something like that, he wanted you to use more video marketing, about a minute and a half in length. And here's a sentence that he said that I loved. Your business will only grow as fast as you do. Think about that for a second. You know, obviously when you're in business, running a business or whatever, managing a business for someone, the business will only grow as fast as you do. How fast are you willing to put the time in to, or how much effort are you willing to put in? Are you willing to continuously improve yourself? And with marketing, he also said you want to have a 12-month marketing plan, whether it's seasonal or something, but you want to have that plan and stick to it. There were three abilities that he thought were very important for business: findability, unique ability, and profitability. People have to be able to find you. You have to be unique from your competition. And then in the end, if they like those two and they do business with you, there should be profits to follow. Any website, printed materials, emails should have a call to action. Simply put, call for a price quote, call for an estimate, call for something, call for more information, but always have that somewhere in your printed or website materials. Testimonials are huge. And then also managing your online reputation, like I mentioned, Googling your company once per month. Google yourself. Make sure people aren't personally attacking you. He also talked, this is a great story. Fish where the fish are. So the description that he gave was, he was out on the lake with a friend, and there were 20 boats near the bank. And so they were dropping their line and not catching anything, but they noticed that by the bank, people were reeling in fish left and right. And so the person he was with said, well, you told me to stop the boat here, and we're not catching anything. If you want to fish, if you want to catch fish, you got to go to where the fish are. So where are your customers? Where are they hanging out? On the internet, in social media, things like that. You've got to be engaged with them. So if you don't have a Facebook page for your business, if you don't have a Twitter account, if you're not on Pinterest, not on LinkedIn, if you're not on Instagram or something like that, if that's where your customers are, that's where you need to be. So go fish where the fish are. So that's, you know, a couple of things that he talked about. There was a lot more that we can get into later. But it was just important for me to share that with you because I thought a lot of it was eye-opening and I thought a lot of it was very key for business. And a lot of times, again, I say this all the time, but when you're in business, so many times it's kind of like being in battle, you know, some days. And you have to be the boss. You have to be an employee. You have to be a psychologist. You have to be camp counselor. And then on top of that, we want you to also be the marketer. So taking time out, blocking out times of the day or the week that you can get this stuff done is hugely critical. But when it's done and your customers will know that you're going to call them back, your friends are going to know that if they refer somebody, you're going to call that person, and that you're going to fish where the fish are, I think you'll be wildly successful in this business. So don't forget to do all of those tips. In sports, in NASCAR's round of 12, Jimmie Johnson won last week's Bank of America 500 at Charlotte, North Carolina to advance to the round of 8. Jimmie is chasing his 7th championship and now has guaranteed himself a spot in the next round. This week, the teams head to Kansas for the Hollywood Casino 400 on Sunday at 2:30 p.m. In the NCAA football, it heads into Week 7 with the top 5 teams remaining the same in the AP Top 10. Those are Alabama leading the poll in the number 1 spot, followed by Ohio State, Clemson, Michigan, and Washington. Texas A&M, Louisville, Wisconsin, Tennessee, and Nebraska round out the top 10. A Ruth Chris Steakhouse in Ann Arbor, Michigan has a promotion going this season where for every point that Michigan football beats an opponent, they will give you 1% off your bill. So if the Wolverines win by 3 points, you save 3% on your bill, with a maximum cap of up to 50%. Last week, Michigan came into town and beat Rutgers 78-0. With the cap at 50%, that means a whole lot of people will be going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse in Ann Arbor, Michigan for half off their bill. In fact, I'm catching a plane right after this show. I'm thinking maybe Porterhouse. NFL Week 6 kicks off tonight with the Denver Broncos playing the San Diego Chargers. Game time is at 8:25 p.m. There is now just one undefeated team left, including or in the NFL, and that is the Minnesota Vikings. Should the 1972 Miami Dolphins be worried? Could Sam Bradford bring them all the way? In Major League Baseball, the playoffs have begun, and the Blue Jays will face the Indians in the American League Championship Series. In the National League, the Chicago Cubs will play the winner of the Dodgers National Series, with the deciding Game 5 being played tonight at 8 p.m. The NHL regular season has started in a big way for rookie Austin Matthews, who scored 4 goals in his NHL debut with the Toronto Maple Leafs in a loss to the Ottawa Senators 5-4. And in golf, Tiger Woods has withdrawn from the Safeway Open only 4 days after announcing that that would be the match where he would return to the game. Now it looks as if we have to wait for December before Tiger will be back on tour. Don't forget, tonight is the 5th annual Card Club hosted by Anita's Angels and North Star Tutors, a great opportunity for you to network. And the Golden Cup is returning to play classic music hits from the 50s through today. And you can join everybody there for an evening of good food, beer and wine, toe-tapping music, and great conversations. That's today, October 13th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Countryside Plaza North, 361 Route 31 here in Flemington. For more information, and remember, you do need to register for this event, 908-782-7115, or log on to www.hunterdon-chamber.org for more details and how to register. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. I'm Jim Gano. If you have ideas for an upcoming program, topic, or guest, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on our Facebook page Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. And make sure you like that page so you get more updates. I'm Jim Gannot, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Working up.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise.